The Honda Indy Toronto is in the city, and the race will be Sunday. It'll be on City TV and Sportsnet 360 at 3 p.m. Around the Honda Indy Toronto is the Indy Lights race, and our next guest has competed in the Indy Lights race twice in Toronto. He's competing for the first time in the IndyCar race this year. He's a rookie driver, and he came into our studio in a walking boot. Pleased to welcome Ed Jones. Ed, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, first of all, it's great to be here. You know, one of my favorite cities and one of the best tracks.
You got it. I saw you walking with the walking boot, I thought, this guy, you're still going to race. Explain to us what happened and explain why you raced last weekend and you're going to race this weekend.
Yeah, so about a month ago, we were racing in Texas, Most Speedway at Oval Race. There was a massive pileup there. I think the crash took out about 10 cars. Mm-hmm. And I injured my foot then, but it wasn't too bad. Like, I probably just damaged my third metatarsal, damaged it a bit. Then at the next race at Road America in Wisconsin, about halfway through the race, I felt my foot go under braking. You know, we broke with our left foot. And you put as much force as you can every time you hit it. It's not like a road car where you have assist. So, I felt my foot go, and I had to complete the race, but it turns out I fractured my third metatarsal. So it's pretty painful, but I've been able to race on Sunday at Iowa, and I'll be racing again this weekend. When I'm out the car, it hurts a lot, but you know, once the adrenaline's pumping, it's actually not too bad, and you just have to suck it up and get through it.
Did the team? Was there any doubt within the team that you were going to race? Did they leave it up to you, or was there any pressure?
Obviously, they were a bit worried, but no, I convinced them. I told them there's going to be no problem. Yeah, I'd do anything to be on the track as much as I can. So now I'm fine with it. We just put a few inserts in my race shoe and things to make it a bit easier for me, but I'll be fine.
Now, you have raced on this circuit before, as I mentioned, with the Indy Lights. It's obviously different with Indy Car. It's a lot faster. Or it's faster, I should say. How have you found the move up from Indy Lights to Indy Car? And the process of doing that, Ed, while you're competing in Indy Lights, do you train on the Indy Car? Do you test the regular Indy Car as well to move up? Like, how does the transformation go?
The transition. So, moving up Indy Lights, it's just a little bit less horsepower, less grip. Everything is a bit slower. So moving up, it's always difficult, especially in motorsport. Your practice time is very limited. They make it, you only get a small amount of practice time because they try to limit the costs. Mm-hmm. It's a very expensive sport for the teams. And so I only did about 3 or 4 practice days in the car before my first race, which means you have to do as much work as you can outside of the car to prepare for it by studying all the data, old videos, and just taking what I've learned from Indy Lights onto IndyCar. Recently, it's been very tough for rookies to come up, but my transition has actually been a lot smoother than we expected. Like, we've had quite a few top 10s, third at the Indy 500. So today it's gone really well. We're pushing hard to get some wins, but you know, it's a very competitive field out there. The field sometimes, a lot of the races is within 1 second, the whole 20 of us. Mm-hmm. So to be at the front, you have to be right on your game, and we're working as hard as possible to be there.
Why is it so hard for for rookie racers to move up? One of the things I would think with motorsport is because there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah,
there's almost an inherent trust factor, and if you trust your driver, it's got to be kind of hard to replace him with someone else, you know?
No, exactly that. And, you know, back at, say, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, even more, the drivers, before they did their first race, they had done 20 or 30 days of practice, whereas now we get 3 or 4. So, you know, you're starting off on the back foot compared to those guys. A lot of the guys in there have done it for 10, 15 years as well. And the other thing is, as a rookie, you're being trusted, like you said, you have to be trusted by the team that it's the right choice. And at that point, you want to push as hard as you can to get the results. But at the same time, you don't want to make mistakes, crash your car, and cost the team lots of money. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to find that balance where you're attacking, yet being careful at the same time. And it's very hard to do. But, you know, I've worked extremely hard. The team I have behind me has given me a great opportunity. And it's going well.
I would think that finishing in Indy where you finished must have been a real boost for the team as well. Yeah. You know, when you get a rookie driver onto the podium at Indy, get any driver onto the podium at Indy is special, but especially a rookie driver, that has to really boost the team, I would think.
Yeah, it was a massive boost for us. You know, that week was, there was lots of ups and downs. My teammate at the time, Sebastian Bourdais, he was on board for pole position, actually, and he had a massive crash and has put him out for the rest of the season. And then, so the team were very down, you know. And then we came out with the podium, so it was great to give something back to them. And, yeah, like you said, as a rookie, it's, you can't hope for much more. And we're trying to replicate that in the upcoming races.
Now, because Sebastian's out, does that mean the majority of the resources will now be devoted towards you? On the team.
Well, there's another driver there, right. Esteban Gutierrez, who raced in Formula One for the last 3 years. So he's another very experienced guy. And, you know, things are still spread equally. We both have the same chances, opportunities. So, no, it's the same. We're working together, trying to take the team forward again. And actually, Sebastian's coming to Toronto, not to race, but it's the first race he's coming back since the accident to support the team and share his knowledge with us. Because, again, another part of why it's been so smooth for us this year as my rookie season is having Sebastian, a three-time champion, with so much experience and knowledge, being able to learn from that and take, you know, ask questions and get gain so much from him, it's been massive for me. And when you're learning, you can ask for much more than a guy like him.
You made a point a little early about studying video. It seemed to me that motorsport, car racing, there's so much of it is a feel thing, and that feel can change according to the weather, the track, how you feel, how the car is handling. What does the video work accomplish? Is it more a mental, giving you a mental picture of the track, or
there's a lot of different things we do. You know, I watch a lot of the past races. That's one thing where so I know what to expect on the early laps, different stages. Watch onboard video from the driver's perspective. And use that as a bit of visualization before you get to the track. And then you study the data. There's a lot of data involved with the racing and simulators to drive the track as well.
Right.
So it's all these things that you can do to try and enhance your preparation before you get there, because we only get very limited time of practice before we get into qualifying. So it's important to hit the road running as quick as possible. And, studying all that stuff has made a big difference.
Do you prefer road circuit to the oval circuit?
You know, ovals are very new for me. 2015 was the first time I raced them, and when I first got on it, I thought, this is a big mistake. It kind of scared me at the beginning.
Why?
Just because it's, from the outside, people looking at it, they think, oh, you're just driving around circles.
But, one left turn, that's what everybody thinks.
But it's so fast. You're going, the margin for error is so small. The walls are pretty hard as well, that it's just so, you're so on edge the whole time. You come in, especially from qualifying runs at oval where you trim out as much as possible. The last one at Iowa, it was so on the edge. I was shaking for about, 5 to 10 minutes after the qualifying run. It's it's really, thrilling, and something now it's my favorite thing.
Really? Even over, because I would think like, and I, you know, I always admit that, I mean, I've covered the F1 in Montreal a couple of times, and I watch F1, which is nothing against any car, but I mean, it's just kind of the way I came up. And I've always kind of imagined that from a pure driver's point of view, you know, the shifting, the changes
you have to do in
F1 would make it more interesting. But I've spoken to people who've done both, and they say the oval's just, it's a completely different feeling. It's like you're on edge, as you said.
Like driving around just by yourself, road courses are the best, are definitely a lot better than ovals. But the racing on ovals is so much closer, and there's so much more that goes on the super speedways, that part side of it is a lot more fun. So yeah, both parts have their better sides.
How difficult is it to get used to the passing on an oval compared to a street? Because I think in a street course you've also got pardon me, you've got different points of reference, right? Because of the variation in the course. But do you have to guard against, it just sort of being one continuous thing, and now, my God, somebody's passing me. You know, is it different to handle that?
It is. It's difficult. with the ovals, because you're going a lot faster, with our cars, we have the wings, the downforce. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going at a higher speed, your car's affected more by following another car in the corners.
Right.
You have a lot less grip. And so it's a very tactical way of driving. You have tools in the car. You have your front and rear anti-roll bar, mm-hmm. the wake jacker. And so you're adjusting those every lap in order to make the car appropriate for how close you are to the car behind in order to set up an overtake. So, yeah, it's very tactical and it makes it a lot more exciting. You have to be thinking a lot more. Whereas, you know, on the road courses these days with the aero cars, it's a lot harder to overtake mm-hmm. and to get close. So, yeah, it's a very different style. I think that's the part of the reason why I love the IndyCar series, is that diverse
right.
way of driving. You have the road courses, street courses, and ovals. So mm-hmm. weekend to weekend, we're going in between all of them.
Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into racing. You were born in Dubai.
Yeah.
How did you... Was it always in your mind that you're going to be a racer? How did you get into this?
Yeah, so I started with go-karting when I was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the drivers, Formula One, IndyCar, NASCAR, they started with go-karting. So yeah, I started with that. I started racing when I was 9 in Dubai. And yeah, it was always, at the beginning, obviously, it was all just for fun because you mm-hmm. never really realize where it's going to take you. But it was around when I was, say, 11, 12. When we did the World Championships and mm-hmm. European races, where we saw there was a lot of potential and there was more of a path of what I wanted to do. And that's when we started pursuing it a lot more seriously and going through the right steps.
When did you decide that this was what you were going to do? Was it that world, once you got to the World Championship, you thought, okay, now this is really what I want to do? Or was there a time after that maybe where you were kind of thinking, maybe I should try something else?
You know, it's when I started karting when I was 4 or 5, mm-hmm. I was always watching the Formula One at the time.
Right.
That was in Dubai. That was the European racing was more on TV. And
mm-hmm.
That was my favorite thing. And it was every day after school or on the weekends, mm-hmm. I just wanted to go to the kart track.
Right.
And just drive. And when I was 12, we started racing, like I said, mm-hmm. more seriously. Yeah, it was that point where I just wanted... All mm-hmm. I wanted to do was race. I would be flying to Europe on a Thursday, racing, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fly home Sunday night and be at school in Dubai on Monday morning. You know, I did that.
That was your weekend.
I would do it weeks in a all mm-hmm. the time, you know. So it was in and out, nonstop, just doing what I love to do, and made me realize that I really wanted to do it. And there was a stage, 2014, I won... No, so 2013, I won the Formula 3 European mm-hmm. Championship. Mm-hmm. 2014, I broke my back after 2 rounds of the next championship.
Right.
And that was the first time that I couldn't drive mm-hmm. for about 6-7 months out of those since I was 4.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I realized how bad it was without being able to do the racing.
Right.
And that was a point where I realized, yeah, this is what I want to do.
Now you had the broken back. You
yeah.
You saw your teammate Sebastian in a serious crash. You've been in serious crashes. I mean, I'll ask you the same thing. I asked James Hinchcliffe when we had him in here. When you see that Sebastian having an accident, that at any point, I'm not going to ask you if fear enters into things, but is there that little kind of thought in the back of your head, a little bit of worry?
You know, at the end of the day, there's risk.
Yeah,
risk with everything, and danger is an aspect of motorsport. But you know, when you're racing, I never think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to be focused on the job ahead. And I think the day where I feel like I'm compromising my driving by being mm-hmm. worried or scared about something, that's when you know you have to stop.
And but, yeah. I think, I've had other drivers say, you know, that the one of the things people don't realize is there is so much preparation that it is a profession, and you don't have a lot of time to be afraid because you are doing,
yeah.
you're constantly
exactly
doing.
That.
It's not like you roll up at the track at 9 o'clock and have breakfast and jump in the car and drive and get yeah. out. You're preparing for it. There's the work that goes into it
yeah.
between races is pretty significant. Listen, Ed, we really appreciate you joining yeah. us. Best of luck in Toronto. As I said, I know you've raced the Indy Lights here before, but best of luck in IndyCar, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks.